Life Audio.
Hey guys, I am excited to share this special episode of The Happy Rant with you. Like March or Die, The Happy Rant is also on the Life Audio Podcast Network and promotes Christian values. In each episode, as you will hear in this episode, Barnabas Piper, Ted Cluck, and Ronnie Martin talk about everything from current events to life as pastors. Part of that is why I am sharing this particular episode with you, because in this episode, they introduce themselves or reintroduce themselves. They've been doing this show for a long time, but they talk about what the show is. They give some of their own personal background and really what they hope the show will accomplish and who they are trying to reach. Great episode. And if you like it, I would encourage you to subscribe. You can subscribe on the Life Audio Podcast Network, of course, or wherever you get your podcasts. And then come back in just a couple of days, Wednesday, as I always do. I have a brand new episode of the March or Die podcast for you. And again, incredible guest coming on with me to talk about how we can march when it would be easier to stay where we are and die. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening. And I hope that you will enjoy this episode of The Happy Rant.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. I thought what we'd do this morning, boys, is just do a quick primer on the show, who we are, who we aren't, what they can expect from the Happy Rant Podcast. And I want to just start with some intros. So I am Ted Cluck. All three of us are writers. So that's kind of one thing that binds us together. We're all authors. We've all written books. I made my living for like 15 years doing books and magazine work. And then about 7 years ago, started teaching college. So I'm a college journalism professor at Union University. Shout out Union U. And I host this podcast and I coach football and I love football. And that's pretty much the deal with me. Now, you guys are pastors, you're men of the cloth. And lest people think that this is just, you know, three middle-aged white guys talking about ministry. Oh no, this is three middle-aged white guys talking about other things and sometimes ministry. Pipe, tell us about yourself.
Yeah. So, I'm currently an assistant pastor at Emmanuel Church in Nashville. Prior to joining staff at Emmanuel, so I started working at the church in 2019. Prior to that, I spent about 14 or 15 years in the Christian publishing industry. So a variety of different roles, worked at Crossway Books, worked at Moody Publishers, and then spent the last 6 years working at Lifeway doing a handful of different things. And so, yeah, pretty ensconced in the world of books and writing. And I did some marketing and some editing and some, you know, sales, and attended every Christian conference known to humanity.
Gosh, that's glamorous, Pipe. Ronnie did the same thing, but he paid to go to all of them.
Or was funded by a church, something along those lines.
By the Middle Eastern oil baron that funds Sojourn Network, which is now called something else.
Yeah, called Harbor Network now. Yeah, and I'm a dad of two daughters and married, and let's see. Yeah, you mentioned writing. We would be burying the lead if we didn't mention that one of the things that we wrote, we being all three of us, is the Happy Rant book. If anything about this show piques your interest, there's a written form, which might even be more intelligent.
Oh, man. Yeah, Pipe, that's a great promo. Like, you're like a dog on a chain with this promo work. Like, you handled all the promo work before, and now that Salem Media is taking that off your plate, it's like you kind of can't give it away. And also, like, I find it hard to believe that you are able to extricate yourself from the glitz and glamour of Christian publishing. Man, what an industry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so exciting. I mean, it was hard to give up the jet-setting lifestyle of coach flights to places like Amarillo, Texas, and, you know, Newark, New Jersey. But, for the good of the kingdom and my family, it was the right move to make.
You managed to do it. Well, Ronald hasn't given up that lifestyle, and we're going to hear about him in a minute after we take a break.
What impacts you every day?
There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, baby. So you and I have known each other for a decade now, decade plus.
Decade plus, for sure. Yeah.
We've written two amazing books together, and we have a third coming out per Piper's promo of a couple of minutes ago. And I think we're like a worship guy when I met you, but you're now a pastor in Ohio. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, well, you know, I got my start with all of this kind of media stuff we did 25 years ago with working in the music industry, putting out a bunch of records, being on the road, touring and producing albums, working with a label called Tooth and Nail for years and years, and then slowly got pulled, kicking, screaming, as they say, into ministry, doing some worship stuff. Born and raised in Southern California, then relocated to Ohio almost 12 years ago, and have since planted a couple of churches. Yeah. And work with a denomination called the EV Free, Evangelical Free Church of America, work with a network called Harbor Network. I'm the director of leader renewal for Harbor Network. And writing books with you boys and on my own, and still making music. I still have a studio that I work in, and so doing a lot of the same things that I've always done, but I've added a lot more to the plate. I'm also finishing a doctorate at Midwestern right now, just to make things a little more fun
and solid flex.
But I think we would say that the most important thing I do is what I'm doing right now, which
and
is
you do it one to two
podcast.
Times a month. It's huge. And absolutely. Despite having your own studio, your audio sounds the worst out of all three of us this morning.
Yeah, 100%. This remains one of my favorite things about Ronnie, is that he has the longest career on this show in anything involving microphones. Yeah. And also has the most bad luck with anything involving microphones.
That is interesting, isn't it, Pipe? Baby, where are you calling in from this morning?
Yeah, I'm just I'm kind of around the house, but I couldn't be in my studio this morning. So it sounds a little the sound is sketchy. Hey, if you listen to my records, the sound is sketchy. I've always had sketch sound. It's just it's part of who I am.
You're in Ashland, Ohio, but you sound like you're calling in from an airplane, which is where you really want to be.
Which is what podcasts are supposed to sound like. Let's be
baby, honest. what's your favorite thing about Ohio? I'm putting you on the spot a little
bit. That's a great
question.
Doing a
little interview work. Yeah, yeah.
That was a pregnant pause right there.
What I always tell everybody, man, in Southern California, it's really one note. So in some ways, it's good, right? The weather's always between 75 and 90, and sometimes it peaks above that. But it's always the same. There are no seasons. And so there's this mad rush. And there's this sort of this cycle of productivity that never ends. What I like about Ohio is there are those pauses with the seasons and with the snow days. And I just really love that. I love it so much. I don't even have words to express it. It has been like one of the major shifts for me in life that has just, you know, made life a little more fuller and richer. Just this kind of weather, enjoying these seasons. I love it. I love it so much.
Nice, so. Baby. What's been your favorite thing about working with me all these years? As you think about the work that we've done together, the books, the media mogul stuff that we're doing now.
Yeah, really world-changing endeavors across the board.
Yeah.
I think that's easy, Big T. I think, okay. On one hand, I appreciate our friendship, but I'm going to say even more so than the friendship has just been the overwhelming success that we've enjoyed
yeah.
together.
And, yeah, the huge piles of money we've been. Yeah.
I mean, just writing that first book in 2012 with you on Bethany House, you know, it allowed me to afford the lifestyle that I currently operate out of.
Yeah.
And, so I appreciate you, you know, I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate how we have developed not just a friendship into a book, but a friendship into a book that then morphed into an empire.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate your honesty and your candor on that one, because a lot of people would have gone, you know, the humble route and just said, you know, your tender spirit or, you know, just your faithfulness or whatever. But I'm glad you gave the honest answer. That was really good.
Yeah, I would never list those things when describing you. But yeah, go on.
I just want to jump in with something I appreciate so much about both of you, which is that after such success, it's just rare to see people with such profound worldwide impact having settled in such humble places as, you know, the Jackson, Tennessee area and Ashland, Ohio. You know, you kind of assume Hollywood Hills or Midtown Manhattan or even a place like Nashville where I'm just humbly trying to make it. And and you guys are like, no, we're just salt of the earth people, even after all that success. So I just, I admire you so much for it.
I think the crush.
Thanks, that's
of
so
like,
true, by the way, too. I think that's, I think he's accurate right there, baby. Wouldn't you agree? And how he described
baby, he's
us,
absolutely right? accurate right there. And I think the crush and the demands of this business and of fame just became too much for us in the places where we were before. And, you know, it's nice to hide out here. I can go to the grocery store here in Jackson and not be bothered. You know, and
and anytime we want to go to Manhattan, you know, we just hop on a plane and we get there because we, you know, we own property there. That's what Bridezilla.
Yeah.
Us.
I mean, land.
It procured property in downtown Manhattan for both you and I.
Yeah. That's a huge project, you know, and a favorite for a lot of people. Pipe, what's been the most challenging thing about doing this podcast or the thing that you like the least about doing it?
It's the hours of research and show prep that we do. It is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it comes through in the product.
Yes. It's worth the grind. In the end, you know, we get done, we kind of collapse after one of these grueling episodes. And I think, you know, I'm glad we did that. It was worth it. But there's just, it's not always my favorite to be, you know, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., just combing through documents and like links of web links to try to find, you know, just the sources, the source material, fact checking, all the stuff that we do to really make the show go. I think that's the most challenging part.
Oh no, that
you know,
true.
Can I step in there, man, baby?
Because
I really want us somehow, I would love to express our appreciation to Pipe for all of the extra hours that he puts into it. I'd love to honor him. I'd love to give him a gift. I got nothing right now, but I would love to just say that.
But you would love to. It's really the thought that counts.
Dude, for real though, like all kidding aside, Piper really does the lion's share of the work on this podcast. And like if there was any of us who got close to like doing the bulk of the work, it would be you, Pipe. You're kind of like the dad of the podcast, despite being considerably younger than Ronald and myself.
I think that's just because I'm the grumpiest one on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to handle all the business. And we would be bearing the lead again, not to mention that you are John Piper's son. You know, so if we're in the get-to-know-you stage with new listeners, these are kind of baseline things that they should know. And one of my favorite memories of the program was when John Piper came to our live show at the church in Indianapolis that sounded like a day spa. What was that place called?
Was that
Soma?
Was that Soma? Yeah.
Yeah.
Soma
Church
in
Day
Indianapolis,
Spa in Indianapolis.
Right?
Yeah. Your pop showed up. He made an appearance. The crowd was electric that night because of us, not so much because of him. But no, that was a lot of fun.
They barely noticed him because we were really on our game that night.
Oh, absolutely. We were for sure on our game. And Pipe, we've got...
and he sat at the back with his arms crossed, and I think he cracked a smile once. So, success, yeah. Guys. We did it.
He looked a little bit dour, you know, but he was in the room. He was supportive. You know, it gave us a boost just to see him there, for sure. Let's take a break, and then I got one more question for you.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
All right, boys, here's the deal. Because we have some new listeners, I want to hear from each of you how you would describe to people what it is that we do on this program. Now, Big R, you are, in addition to being, all over the country, all over the globe most weeks, you're a pastor, you're a man of the cloth, you're a networker. You're a guy who's out there on social media, making it happen, getting those retweets from Beth Moore. All the accolades that come from being a social media influencer. How would you describe to people? I'm sure you get a lot of opportunities to do this in your travels. How would you describe to people, like if you were in an airport lobby and you were in a waiting room and some aspirational Christian celebrity came up to you, let's say it was Beth Moore. Beth came up, you guys were in like the ultra gold, double platinum, elite waiting room lounge like you both would be in. And she comes up and she goes, "Hey, I heard you're on this program called The Happy Rant. What is it that you guys do?" What would you say to her?
Well, baby, it's interesting because I think about 2 weeks ago, somebody came up, and I don't remember who it was, and it wasn't Beth Moore and it wasn't a celebrity, but they asked me that exact question. They said,
"Dude, really? Hey, in what context?"
I forget. I was at some kind of an event and somebody had never listened to the program, but somebody had told them about it. Yeah. And so he came and he said, "Hey, I keep hearing about this podcast you're on. I think it's called The Happy Rant." And I said, "Yeah, yeah." And he said, "Like, what is it?" He said, "Because I have friends that listen to it and I just never clicked on it, you know, for no reason." Yeah. And he said, "So how would you just," he literally just said what you said. He said, "How would you describe it?"
Interesting. And, what did you say?
Yeah, this is the first, I've never described it like this before. It was the first thing that came to my mind. I said, "You know what?" I go, "It's kind of," and I'm looking at this dude, he looks like he's in his mid-30s or whatever. And I said, "It's kind of like the Seinfeld of podcasts." I go, "I don't know how to say it other than," I go, "it's, we're not as funny as Seinfeld." I go, "So don't take it that way." I
said, "Keep the bar low, baby."
I said, "It's kind of a podcast about nothing." I go, "We just talk about whatever we want in the moment, with zero prep." I said, "So you're kind of hearing like three dudes that are kind of in the same sphere, but have, you know, are in categorically in different places in the same sphere." And I go, "We just riff about stuff that's ridiculous and funny and occasionally serious. And for some reason, people seem to get a kick out of it." So I said, that's kind of what we do. I go, the title kind of describes it a little bit. It's not cynical. We're critical sometimes of things, but we always lace it with humor and ridiculousness. I said, so that's the best way I can describe it. It's the Seinfeld of podcasts.
I love it, baby. That's really good. If we were the Seinfeld of podcasts, like who would you be on it? Like which of the three kind of bedrock Seinfeld characters would you be? George, Kramer, or Jerry?
Obviously I'd be Jerry, but I'm just
kidding.
I have no
idea. Jerry. No, I actually think, yeah, I have no idea. Works. Yeah. Pipe, do you think he would be Jerry?
And who I think would you so, because
I've probably watched like five episodes of Seinfeld, like in my 10 episodes in my life. So I'm not like, really? I'm not a huge aficionado. I like the show a lot. I think it's super funny, but I've just never watched it. But
I think Ronnie would be Jerry for sure, because he, you know, Jerry's sort of the, he kind of balances with the other characters because they're the more extreme personalities. He sort of always has that wry smile. Everything is it's slightly detached, but he's definitely like the show doesn't work without him. So I think Jerry's a good description for
also
for
Jerry's the only one out of the three that's always getting on an airplane. Like every third episode of Seinfeld, Jerry's flying to like Albany to like do a show and at a college or whatever.
I just want to see Ronnie in a puffy shirt. Is really, I mean, wait, Judas. I think that's in a music video Judas. Someday. Somewhere back along the way.
Yeah, you can Absolutely. See that. It's pretty easy to see that. Pipe. So which Seinfeld character would you be?
I mean, that's pretty ob. That's pretty.
Yeah, I feel like I would have to be George. Just in terms of sort of the perpetual short fuse, just yeah. you say one thing and I might go off a little bit. Also kind of hopefully a key cog, the one who's always driving ideas. Like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
I think I'm that guy, hopefully a little more chill, but that leaning strongly that direction.
George has worked in publishing and you've worked in publishing. I mean, there's a lot of parallels actually. You both like baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
both of us hate George Steinbrenner.
Yeah, you both hate George Steinbrenner. I think there's a lot of overlap it's with accurate. The George character.
It's accurate. Baby, I think for you, it's going to be it could be slightly offensive because you're not Kramer. Okay. I think you're, and again, don't take offense. I think you're whoever the lead woman character in the show.
Elaine.
I don't know her name.
Yeah, baby, Elaine. No offense taken. In this day and age, that's a compliment. Okay.
She has also had
brave
the most,
of you to say that.
She's had the most success as a professional outside of Seinfeld of anybody in that show. So like if you followed that career arc, yeah. you're way, I mean, I guess Jerry's
yeah,
doing
baby,
just
you're
fine,
Elaine.
But
you are. Yeah. Jerry's doing fine, guys. Don't worry about him.
Yeah. Jerry's doing fine.
Jerry's paying the rent. Everything's good with Jer.
I think Elaine loves. And this might be controversial to you, Pipe. I think Elaine loves books the most out of the three. Like, Elaine was the most kind of enmeshed in publishing. So that kind of checks out. Yeah, I don't know. I'm happy with that. I'm not upset with being Elaine. She was in a lot of good episodes. I'll take it. So, Pipe, when, you know, I want to frame the kind of what do we do on this program question to you, but a little bit differently. Your dad is John Piper. He's a serious guy. So like circa a few years ago when the show was kind of starting to pop, and you were back home, let's say you're back home with the fam, you're having that family dinner. The conversation's pretty serious. You can hear like the forks, you know, clanking off the plates and nobody's really saying anything, but your dad breaks the silence with, so, the Happy Rant, what's that all about? What did you say to him? What did the first conversation with your dad about the program look like?
I think I've had as many conversations with my dad about the Happy Rant as I have about like my tattoos, which is to say he pretends they don't exist and it's probably better for all of us. I do need to be careful because I do not want to paint my dad as like an antagonist to the show. We just have very different personalities in terms of what he is intense about and what I am intense about.
Mm-hmm.
But let's hypothetically, yes, we'll put ourselves at that dinner table. It kind of a meet the parents type scene, and he is the Love Robert it. De Niro character, grilling me on the Happy Rant. I think I would probably have an immediate like welling up of defensiveness. You know, like I need to justify this thing to him, and then I would have to remind myself, people who are that serious are probably not our primary audience. So we're talking to somebody else here. I would basically try to say we are trying to show that Christians can have fun and that we try to draw out the absurdity of a lot of the stuff that goes on in our Christian world without, you know, so not throwing stones at somebody else. You know, we're not, you know, fighting enemies as much as like, kind of the way that families poke fun at each other. Aren't we absurd that we all do this thing? That's kind of the vibe. So if I was trying to explain it to somebody who just didn't immediately click with it, it would be that. So this is all in good fun, poking fun at our tribe for all the ways we are absurd and not being bound to everything needs to have sort of a Christian twist on it. Like sometimes we can just talk movies, sports, books, Seinfeld, whatever.
Love it. Now, if Ron and I were at that same dinner table, what would our personas be like? What would our vibes be? Like trying a little bit too hard, trying to show off a little bit for your dad? Like what would it look like? How would we perform?
I have an easier time picturing how Ron would do at that table because I've been in enough ministry context. You know, there's kind of people of varying levels of influence.
Yeah.
And so I'm more aware of his comfort level of just striking up conversations or just sort of finding the next person in the room who's interesting if the famous person is not.
Sure.
Which is often the case, let's be real clear. Ted, I have a harder time with you because you assiduously avoid situations where there are lots of pseudo famous Christian people in the room
kissing each other's rear ends.
I don't love that. That's not your favorite scene.
Here's the tack I would take with your dad, and I want to know if this would work. And by work, I mean just each of us having a good time. I would go like old Vikings players. I'd start talking about Randall McDaniel and his weird stance, but how he was one of the best guards in the NFL.
Oh, I'm just picturing my dad totally blank stare, like no idea who you're talking about.
Because your dad's a bit of a sports guy, right?
He loves competition. He does not follow any teams. Like, he's probably generally aware of who the best player is on a team at any given time for Minnesota teams. But no, what I would probably do in that situation is set you up for awkwardness by saying, oh, Ted's been good friends with Kevin DeYoung for a long time. They wrote a couple books together. Dad, you know Kevin. And then just there you go. And he's going to start talking about Kevin's latest article on 37 reasons we should have 37 children or something. And you will be handcuffed into that. Meanwhile, I will turn around and argue with my brothers about something. I don't know.
Yeah. You'll be like a bizarro world point guard, but you're setting me up to not score. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You're throwing me bad passes, bad luck.
Here, let me ambush you. This is going to be great fun.
Exactly. No. Yeah. That I was actually going to take that tack. So like if I tried the Vikings thing and it crashed and burned, I would immediately start scrambling for the one bit of overlap that I did have with John Piper. Besides you, honestly, I would probably just talk with him about how much I enjoy your company, and that would be the tack to take. But the other one would be Kevin DeYoung, and just try to see if I could get some mileage out of that one.
Possibly the most interesting man in the evangelical world, really.
I mean, you know, we're just hoping to get there. We're hoping to reach the heights of success that their podcast has had. Is that thing still a thing? The KDY, Colin Hanson,
Life Books and Everything
podcast? Life Books and Everything. Yeah. Who's the third guy on that thing? Justin Taylor.
Yep.
He never gets to talk.
Yeah.
He talks like once every third episode, but, is that podcast huge, boys? Is it, getting a lot of traction?
I don't know if it's huge. I don't get the sense that it's huge, but I don't know what their download numbers are. But Pipe, you wouldn't know that either, would you?
I have no idea. I think they're doing very well in their niche. I mean, that is like the Gospel Coalition, like they're triumvirate. They're sort of big three stars type of thing. So, and they bring on guests who are like, they've had Tim Keller on and guys like that. And so, yeah, they do. I'm sure they're doing just fine.
Yeah. Pipe, would you say it's more or less popular than The Art of Pastoring? I mean, if we had to get down to brass tacks and just talk a little business, little media business right now.
Well, I mean, they're sort of like evangelical Nickelback, whereas like The Art of Pastoring is like the up and coming, like, oh, these guys write
great songs. It's like evangelical Radiohead.
There's a unique sound here, that kind of thing.
Yeah, Jared seems like really the Tom nice York part. of evangelical podcasting.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. He'll like that comp, dude. That'll make him feel a little cooler. That'll make him walk
It'll
a little taller.
It'll make him feel cool,
those...
but he'll have to Google who Tom York is, I think.
That'll make him walk a little taller in those ironic Vans he's been sporting lately.
He'll be like, Tom York, did that guy play in one of the Star Wars movies that I went back and saw a rescreening of this
week? Exactly, right.
He'll spell it the wrong way like the first three times. Like, T-O-M, I'm not getting anything, you know.
Ted, how do you answer the question if somebody's like, you know, because you're okay, let's pose the question even differently, because we've talked about Ronnie being in a room full of famous people. I'm at a Piper family dinner. You work with college students, the rising generation of future evangelical influencers who just aspire to be as amazing as us. How do you, when they come to you and they're like, Ted, how can I someday achieve your level of podcasting success? What do you guys do? Yeah. How have you done it? What are you doing? What works? How do you answer those questions?
Well, I mean, first I tell them to work really, really hard becoming like a third tier Christian author and then start a podcast. But no, this actually, like, on a somewhat serious note, this does happen from time to time. And it usually happens at my college, which is really strange. So the most recent instance of this, I was in the cafeteria and I was like at the salad bar, and this random kid who I'd never seen before, he comes up behind me and like taps me on the shoulder and he's like, hey, are you Ted Kluck? And I said, yeah. And typically when that happens, it's some kid who's like, oh, I'm going to take your class next semester or whatever. But this kid was like, hey, I just want to let you know I'm a really huge fan of the Happy Rant, which is crazy, right? Because this kid's like 19 years old. And then sometimes I'll have their parents come up to me like on a, you know, parents weekend or homecoming or whatever. And they're, this guy's like 52-year-old dad will be like, hey, I'm a huge fan of the Happy Rant. So I think we have this odd like range of listeners that doesn't fit really super neatly into any target demo, right? So it's, I think it's somewhat strange to have a podcast that like 19-year-olds listen to and their, you know, 50-year-old parents, and ostensibly everything in between. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I would describe what we do. Probably the same way you guys do, which is we take some stuff in our tribe and we make fun of it, but we still love the Lord, love the church, love scripture. You know, we take those things really seriously, but we kind of don't take anything else seriously is the way that I would probably say it.
Particularly not ourselves.
Yeah, definitely not ourselves. And like, so here's the funny thing, and we'll end on this. If you've spent any amount of time in Christian publishing, unless you are like Tim Keller and you're selling like 3 million copies of every book that you put out, it's impossible to take yourself seriously. I don't know how you can navigate through like a decade plus of doing that and come out the other side with a high view of it or yourself. You know what I mean? So, you know, the result of it is you got to kind of laugh at it. Am I crazy for having that take? Is that a weird take?
No, I think that's the mature take where you learned, you know, you kind of had some of the ego edges knocked off. But I can tell you after spending a decade and a half working in Christian publishing, not everybody learns that lesson. There are a lot of B and C list authors who roll in, you know, as if they're like Elton John getting out of the glam limo with like feathers hanging off. And they're sort of like, you know, serve me, pay attention to me, you peon publisher workers. And
dude, that's so funny.
No, I mean, there's everything in between. There are so many gracious authors. There are some who you're like, I never want to see this person again. And then there's just kind of the array of human experience in between. But there are a lot of people who think that having your name on a book makes you special. And boy, if we've learned anything, it's that's not true.
That is so not true. Boys, we've done what we always do in this program, in that we've wandered to and fro talking about ourselves and what we do. So shout out Salem Media, and until next time.
We want to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for partnering with us on this podcast. Be sure to go to lifeaudio.com and take a look at the other podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
These EPs find their way into the hands of Chris Tomlin. And so we got this email out of the blue that, well, he was inviting us to go on this major arena tour of the United States. And at that time we were like, well, we're not even really a band. Do we tell him we're not a band?
Chris Llewellyn from Ren Collective shares some of his life story on The Walk, a podcast for worshipers. Join us to hear conversations and devotionals from the artists of the church. Find The Walk on lifeaudio.com, worshipleader.com, or your favorite podcast platform.